Welcome to the Magic Valley Bible Church Sermon Podcast. Magic Valley Bible Church has been serving the Magic Valley for 20 years and is located at the corner of Gooding and Main Street in downtown Twin Falls, Idaho. Our service starts at 9 a.m. and is streamed live on our YouTube channel. For more information, please visit us on the web at www.mvbibletf.org or Facebook at facebook.com/MVBible or YouTube at youtube.com/MVBible. Magic Valley Bible Church, built on God's Word.
Please take your copies of God's Word and open it to Hebrews chapter 10. You know you don't have a vital row in the service when they shrink your pulpit until you have 20 minutes. So all that's tongue-in-cheek. It's a delight to see our children just singing and praising the Lord. So in light of that, we will have a shorter sermon. I think what scares you as you open your Bibles to Hebrews 10 and you see 18 verses, you're thinking, oh mercy, we're going to see a three-part sermon. I want to encourage you, just as the angel told Mary, fear not. We will not have a three-part sermon, but it is a time for us to reflect, to think about Christmas and celebrate the Christ of Christmas. And this morning, I want to stir your hearts, if anything, it's not maybe what we normally do as far as an expository sermon, but more of expository thoughts and thinking about this Christ child and who will become the Savior of the world. So when you think about Christmas and you think about Easter, you can't separate the two. It's not an isolated event for Christmas to happen and then an isolated event for the death and the resurrection of Jesus to happen. Those two are linked, of course, with Christ himself. For that matter, if you think about the Easter story without Christmas theology, you really just have a sad story of a man dying a very sad death. On the other side of this, if you have the Christmas story without Easter theology, you have this sentimental story of a little baby who couldn't find a place to be birthed. We have to, as Christians and Bible seekers, we have to look at the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ through the eyes of the manger. It all begins there. At least the plan and the redemptive plan of God begins with the sending of a son to a virgin. Each of these divine events, Christmas and Easter, is part of the collective whole that God was declaring a redemptive purpose. And you can't have one without the other. And thinking about that truth and going to the text, this is why we're in Hebrews chapter 10. You're probably thinking, why did he take us here? Well, I think as you will see here shortly, you'll see those two events collide. Christmas and the resurrection. These two events collide to help us see what God is doing in sending and giving a son as the Lord and Savior of those who repent and believe in Jesus Christ. And so the title of today's very, very short sermon is God in the Flesh. I'm not bitter by that, by the way. Can you tell? Let me read our passage. Let the Word of God speak to our hearts here, starting in verse 1 of Hebrews 10. For the law, since it was only a shadow of good things to come, and not the very form of things, can never be the same sacrifices which they offer continually year by year, make perfect those who draw near. Otherwise, would they not have ceased to be offered, because the worshipers, having once been cleansed, would no longer have had consciousness of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins year by year. For it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Therefore, when he comes into the world, he says, sacrifice and offering you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. And whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you have taken no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the scroll of the book, it is written of me to do your will, O God. After saying above, sacrifices and offerings and whole burnt offerings and sacrifice for sin you have not desired, nor have you taken pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. Then he said, behold, I have come to do your will. He takes away the first in order to establish the second. By this, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Every priest stands daily ministering and offering time after time the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But he, having offered one sacrifice for sins for all time, sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time onward until his enemies be made a footstool for his feet. For by one offering, he was perfected for all time those who are sanctified. And the Holy Spirit also testifies to us. For after saying, this is the covenant that I will make with them, after those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws upon their heart, and on their mind I will write them. He then says, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now where there is forgiveness of these things, there is no longer any offering for sin. Let us pray. Father, we do thank you for the revelation of the Word of God. Not only do these things play out, they have been planned from eternity past. Everything sovereignly in control in your dispensing of them. And so, Lord, I ask that as we understand the redemptive plan of God, Father, that we would understand why you sent Christ. And that our only hope is in Christ. Spirit, help us by using your word to cement the truth that has been planned so long ago. That born for us is a Savior. His name is Christ the Lord. And so, Father, teach us. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. I mean, when we think about Christmas, our minds are flooded with all sorts of events. The Gospels give us great clarity on the details of that very first Christmas where God gives his Son as a gift to the world. You have angels proclaiming to the Virgin Mary that she will bear a son. And the question is, how can that be, right? How can a virgin be with child? That is outside of human possibility, isn't it? Mary had those same doubts. But the words from the angel Gabriel in Luke 1:37 echoes in our hearts again by saying, for nothing will be impossible with God. And it happened according to every detail that the Lord gave through his messenger, Gabriel. That story goes on and has so many moving parts and only a divine orchestrator behind it. We have the narrative of Herod and his evil intentions as he is threatened by another king wanting to kill those up to the age of two, trying to squash the plan of God. Yet the sovereignty of God in protecting all those involved is pretty miraculous in and of itself. And Jesus grows to be a man with a purpose, to fulfill the reason of his coming by going to the cross and dying for sinners. Can I say it this way? The Christmas story is God's story. And what a joy it is to embrace that, to think about what he is doing and what he is giving and what his purposes are in the Lord Jesus Christ. God has his handwriting all over this. His hands are moving, declaring to his creation that he will save them from their sins. Matthew 1, verse 21, look at the screen. Makes this very clear when it says, she, Mary, will bear a son, and she'll call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Don't think the incarnation of Jesus entering in his creation in the form of human flesh is the beginning of Jesus. I mean, there is so, my mind kind of just gets overwhelmed by thinking about this situation and what's going on. But don't think in your theology that when Jesus was born, that was his beginning. That's not the case. Jesus has always existed. He has always been. He is God in the flesh, and he has no beginning. Just that thought in itself kind of starts rocking your mind. When we love the thought about eternity and what Christ can give us as far as eternal life, where life will never end with the Savior. I mean, we don't have anything in this life that will last forever. But we do have a Lord and Savior that says, listen, I will give it to you for eternity. And then if you go look on the flip side of this, to think about Jesus and not having a beginning, he never began. He always was, which is mind-boggling. There was never a beginning for the Godhead, always existing from eternity past to existing present to eternal future. That, my friend, is a head scratcher. But this is our God. The events of Easter, or the death of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, is just as much detailed for us in each gospel, and is the culmination of why Jesus came in the first place. Is our God kind enough to give us bookends? I'm sending you Christ. He's going to the cross to die for your sins. He is. Jesus died for you and me so that we may receive his grace and forgiveness, salvation. And I guess the question is, salvation from what? Of course, scriptures are very clear. From eternal death. And from the penalty of our own sins. And I ask the gospel this question, how is that justice? That's not justice. That is grace. Unmerited favor to the undeserved sinner. That's the beauty of the gospel. Jesus came to save you, rescue you from you. And the consequences of your sins. When we study the Gospel of Mark, Mark 11:45 declares this to us, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. And those who believe, trust in Christ Jesus, you are the many. You are the ransomed. You are the ones in whom he has given his life for. Oh, it's available for all. But it's only received by those who believe in the one who saves them. The many are those who repent and believe and receive Jesus' grace and forgiveness. They are the many. That is the reason he shed his blood for you and I, for those who would believe in him. I think some of the favorite verses of the scriptures that even your unbelieving friends know is John 3:16-17, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be what? Saved through him. So in light of the Christmas story with Christmas theology and the Easter story with Christmas theology, right? The writer of the book of Hebrews, he puts this all together for us in these 18 verses. And this, there is a lot to be said there and to be studied, but I want to draw our attention to a few of these things. The writer brings to light what was and now what is with the coming of Christ and what he accomplished by giving himself and shedding his blood as a new covenant was forged, God between God. And the only way to be a part of that new covenant, this of the removing of the old and the coming of the new, is believing in the one who was sacrificed for you. It's all about faith and receiving Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And I don't want you to walk away missing that. Why? Because we can have a lot of head knowledge about Christmas and Easter, but do we understand what God is doing to us and for us and by giving us Christ? And that is faith of receiving that gift. Don't think that it's all about getting Christmas facts and Easter facts and taking a quiz and thinking that you got a great grade. This is not about head knowledge. This is about truth that hits the heart that needs to be responded to. It's about you repenting or turning from your sins and seeing exactly what was provided for you through Jesus Christ and receiving him as Lord and Savior. It comes down to this question, do you believe? Do you believe, do you have the faith that Jesus is the only one that can save you from your sins? Why is that important? Listen, you can't save yourself. You can't do enough good things in order to find favor with a holy God. If anything, it's almost like that never-ending mud puddle where you got water in there and the mud splashes on you and trying to get the dirt off, so you go back to the mud puddle and you continue to get dirt on it. It never goes away. However, there is one who can cleanse us from all of our sins. There is one who can make us right to a holy God. And that is through a saving relationship and the one who has sacrificed himself for you and given you his righteousness. And that, of course, is Jesus. You can't save yourself. You and I need Jesus to save us. And here's the good news. That's what he does. That's what he does. Jesus is in the saving business, if you want to look at it that way. He desires for your soul to be redeemed for the purposes of the glories of God. He desires for you to understand that you are in a place and a predicament that you can't save yourself, but yet there's a Savior that's here provided for you if you would repent and believe. All the details are here. And the question is, will you submit to the one who gave his life for you? That, my friend, is a heart question. I think it makes sense. Just coming to church won't answer that question. Just getting baptized won't save you either. Jesus wants your heart. And he wants to save you. And by saying yes to Jesus, salvation is kindly delivered. Our passage, real quick, has that same thought in light of the incarnation to what Jesus has done with the death and the resurrection and what it has delivered for us. Flowing through these verses real quick, you think about verse 1 where it says again, this old covenant, the law to which all of us have broken. Yes, the law that is fulfilled by your own doing, that if you could fulfill the law, you would be able to stand righteously before God. But guess what? It doesn't take long for us to break it. And then we stand condemned. It is a law that God has given to point out the sin nature of our own souls. And this is where the writer goes with it. He says in verse 1, for the law, since it has only a shadow of good things to come and not the very form of things, can never be the same sacrifices which they offer continually year by year, make perfect those who draw near. The text gives us the idea that this is kind of just a long, ongoing process of continually trying to appease God through our own efforts. And I get it. We like lists and we like laws and we think that if we just do this, we'll be okay. But this type of law that God gives us, it's one of those things where it was never intended for you to fulfill because you can't. And we struggle with that. And we try to make ourselves shiny and presentable, and yet we find ourselves failing and failing. And year after year, in the Old Testament, Israel had to give sacrifice to be reminded of the fact that that I need help. And so God set up a system of worship. He called his people to follow it, and yet year after year they failed. And they offered sacrifice to God, as verse 3 says, as a reminder of sins year by year. Those sacrifices offered never removed the guilt of their sins. Never. If anything, it pierced their hearts all the more that they were sinners. Verse 4 confirms that when it says, for it's impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. And so the question is, why would God have them do this year after year, these sacrifices, to remind them that they were sinners? Is he putting salt in their wounds? What's he doing here? Of course, the answer is no. Yet what God was doing is he's setting up the one. He's setting, can you see this with Christmas, the incarnation and the coming of Christ? He's setting up the fact that I am going to send the one sacrifice that will eliminate them all. He's setting up the Messiah, the one who will come, the one who will be the Savior of the world, the one who would become our sacrifice, who will end all other sacrifices. And guess what? It begins with the incarnation. It begins with the Christmas story. It begins in verse 5. Look at it. It says, therefore, when he comes into the world. That is the beginning of the redemption story. At least played out in details for us, as we can see, as Mary experienced, as the shepherds saw, as the wise men worshiped, all these things as the world continues to look in today. God steps into his creation and arrives in a divine way in order to be the sacrifice that saves you from your sins. Verse 9 states, behold, I have come to you to do your will. He, Jesus, takes away the first in order to establish the second, speaking about these covenants that God has cut with his people. The first covenant, the law, is fulfilled in Jesus. And he brings with him in his death and resurrection this new covenant, a new shedding of blood, a second covenant in which he will redeem you and save you and gives you his righteousness so that now you could stand before a holy God. That's exactly where the writer of Hebrews goes with this. If you jump forward to verse 10, it says, by this will we have been sanctified, through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. There's the Easter story. The death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The offering of a body of Jesus Christ once for all. Every priest, by the way, the writer goes on to say, stands daily ministering and offering time after time the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But he, speaking about Jesus, having offered one sacrifice for sins for all time, sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time onward until his enemies be made a footstool for his feet. For by one offering, he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified, those who are redeemed, those who are holy. He concludes in verse 18 by saying, now, where there is forgiveness of these things, there is no longer any offering for sin. In other words, beloved, Jesus is enough. Jesus is enough. You don't need anything else. When it comes to God's economy, when it comes to God's redemption, when it comes to his plan, understand, he delivers. My post office, not so much. But Jesus Christ does. Faithful in his declaration, seeing it into the end. And you can read the Gospels and be marveled by the protective hand of God for the very purpose of sending Christ to the cross, and it all displayed there for us. You don't need anything else. For Jesus is sufficient. His sacrifice pays the wrath of God for the sinner who sins. Listen, as you celebrate Christmas, don't forget that sacrifice. Don't forget the kindness of God to send a gift of his divine Son to be the redemption that we all need. I think we think about Christmas. We love the fact that it's all about receiving a gift. Listen, God gave you the greatest gift in sending his Son. Don't just look at the shiny package, however. As you and I both know, when on Christmas morning, when we receive a gift from a loved one, they have great excitement of thought into the gift that they gave you, and they want you to open it. I think that illustration fits well for us in Christ Jesus. He displays Jesus in such a marvelous way, in a miraculous way, by sending him through the Virgin Mary, and he says, listen, open him. Understand him. Believe in him. Repent, and he can be your Savior. Listen, if you have questions about that, you need answers. And the neat thing about it, the scriptures have it. And if somebody brought you here this morning, or if you have questions, you can talk to myself or Pastor Nate, and we'd be happy to tell you more about this great gift of Christ, this Redeemer, this Savior, this Lord. Amen? Let us pray. Father, we do thank you for this morning. Thank you for stirring our minds to think about this incarnation in light of the cross and vice versa, the cross in light of the manger, and what a joy it is to have truth that helps us understand. You have a redemptive purpose in sending Jesus. If we're all honest with ourselves, we understand that we are nothing. We are sinners. Rightly to stand in judgment of the things that we have done. And yet, as the writer pointed out, listen, we not only have a Savior that was sent, but we have a Savior who went and died, who sacrificed himself for the sake, who committed no sin, but yet desired to be the sin offering for sinners. Jesus, I pray that truth saturates the minds and hearts of these listening folk. For the ones who have received that gift and received in Christ through faith and repentance, may they just all the more relish the great salvation that they are living in. And for the one who is pondering and thinking about who is this Christ child who became God in the flesh, became my Savior, may you draw them to faith. We pray that you receive the glory for that, Lord. We love you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Magic Valley Bible Church Sermon Podcast. For more information, please visit us on the web at www.mvbibletf.org or Facebook at facebook.com/mvbible or YouTube at youtube.com/mvbible.